Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9. We'll read verses 35 through 38 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Lord, this morning the altars were full and people being saved and lives and eternities being changed. Baptismal pool was busy today. Lord, the hustle and bustle of the buses and the Sunday schools, and what a great place to be was here. And yet, we're still needy. We still need you. Lord, thank you for the man of God that you've sent our way. I pray that you'd fill him with your power. May we listen. May we hear what you have for us through him tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to read to you just a few of the verses that we all read together earlier. You don't need to turn to them again. In Matthew chapter number 9, verse 35 and verse 36, it says this, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. The Bible says here that Jesus had been traveling to all the cities and the villages. He was preaching. What was he preaching? He was preaching salvation. He was talking about heaven being at hand. He mentions that while there, he was trying to help the hurting. He was trying to help the sick. He was trying to encourage those that had diseases and encourage the discouraged. The Bible says that while there, he sees the multitude of people. The Bible teaches that he noticed that they were fainting. What does that mean? They were weak. They were tired. The Bible says that He noticed that the multitude, they were as if they had no shepherd. They had no leader. Says they were scattering. They were weak. They were diseased. He was talking to them about salvation and they seemed a bit leaderless. And the Bible then says in verse number 36, as Jesus looks out at the multitude of people, it says that he was moved with compassion. That word moved is my sermon tonight. It is what my sermon is all about, the word moved. That is the title of my sermon tonight. Jesus was moved. Are you moved? What does it mean? Jesus, it means that Jesus was affected from deep within as he looked at these leaderless people, if you will. It means Jesus was motivated from deep within about the situation that these people found themselves. It means that Jesus was stirred from deep within. Jesus was inspired from deep within. Jesus was enthused from deep within. Are you spiritually moved? We could define that word moved as motivated from deep within. Are you spiritually motivated? I'm going to tell a little bit of a story, or maybe give you a little information here. Paul Mongan, that name, many of you may have never met Paul, but he sits right back here in this section. Paul lost both of his legs this last year. Paul helps with the finances of our church. He helps us to pay the bills. He helps us to get things done in regard to certain business matters. Paul came to the deacons and I, and he suggested that we get what we call a T-man policy of insurance on me, a life insurance policy. He suggested that we go out and purchase $1 million worth of life insurance so that if I die, which I'm hoping this is no omen, but if I die, there would be money to help the church to continue. Paul's reasoning was this. He said, Brother Owens, you are a highly motivated leader. Where would we get someone like you if something were to happen to you? You're one of a kind. I got to thinking about that, sir, that sentence he said. I got to thinking about it. Truth is, I don't believe that, but let me tell you this. That very thought pretty well inspired tonight's sermon. I am a motivated person. I'm motivated. Some would say I'm a motivator. Others would just say I'm a motor mouth. But I'm a motivated person. I am forced to be a self-starter. But listen, please, for the sake of our church, we don't need just one key man. Our church needs far more depth than that. We need many key people around here. You know, one of the ways, though, I got to thinking, I thought, one of the ways we can have many self-starters is if I could teach you how to be a self-starter. I really don't preach this sermon tonight to motivate you. I preach this sermon tonight to teach you how to motivate yourself. I've examined me. I have asked myself, what moves Jeff Owens? What motivates me? I suppose once a month somebody says to me, what moves you? What motivates you? I was recently out of the country preaching at a conference, and I'll be quite honest with you, there were probably 8 people that came to the meeting. This is what the pastor said to me. He said, I'm not having this meeting for my church people or other church people. He said, all I want to do is get you here because I need you. And I thought, that kind of doesn't make sense to me. But he had been honest with himself, and he said, I need somebody to help me get restarted here. I've been asking myself, what motivates me? What lights my fire? What keeps me going? What fires me up? What is it that flips my switch? What is it that turns me on high? What inspires me or what stirs me? What generates my enthusiasm? What primes my pump? What shifts me into overdrive? What kicks me into high gear? What rouses me? We sing the song, rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. What rouses me? What moves me to action? Tonight, I would like to teach you how to have a private spiritual pep rally. Do you know what spiritually motivates you? Probably not. If I were to ask the average leader, and this church is full of leaders, if I were to ask the average leader what spiritually motivates you, could you tell me? Does it always take somebody else? You know, that may be a bit the difference between you and I. Not much more than that. I do know what motivates me. I know what moves me spiritually. I have a list. I go to that list and I let that list do its work on me. My list may not be exactly what your list may need to be, but we all need a list. We need more than one key person. We need to get a $1 million key man policy on a whole bunch of people. To the point where they understand how important they are to the work of God. leadership in this church, I want you to rise up. Let's not depend on the motivation of one. One cannot carry all the spiritual load that a church our size carries. One cannot. One will crumble. One cannot do it. Therefore, the ranks must learn how to motivate themselves. And I'm not talking about humanism now. I mean, you submit to the Holy Spirit of God within you, deep within you, then you use the energy He provides to move you to new heights and doing greater things for God. Here's what I'm going to do. I really don't think it's going to take long. I am going to take you into my private world. I am going to share with you my list. What motivates me? What moves Jeff Owens? I'm going to tell you what that is tonight. Number one, I am moved by duty. I am moved by duty. This may be the most important thing on my entire list. Now, I like the other, and let's see, how many do we have? And don't panic. It's not going to take all night. I have 10 points. I enjoy the motivation of the other 9 things on my list more than I enjoy point number 1. But you see, point number 1 is the one that keeps me going no matter what. Duty. Duty. It is my duty to go forward. It is my duty to be energized. It is my duty to lead. Let me make you a deal. I see people taking notes. I'm going to make you a deal. I've already got it written in my notes. I'm going to be done early enough that at the end of this sermon, I'm going to go over these 10 points and I want you to write them down. I believe the future growth, the future depth and strength of this work may depend on this sermon tonight. Because I'll tell you this, I cannot motivate everybody all the time by myself. I can't do it. I'm too feeble, I'm too weak, I'm too human, and I'm too frail. But I do have enough sense to teach you how to step up and help me get it done. Now, so at the end of the night, I'm going to leave enough time and I'm going to help you write these down. So if you'll give me your undivided attention, we'll write them together later on. I said point number 1, I am moved by duty. It is my duty to encourage and move on. It's my duty. And what you say when you say duty, what do you mean, Brother Owens? It's obedience. I let obedience motivate me. I am to obey God whether I feel like it or whether I don't feel like it. And folks, if you'll get that one, it'll carry you. It'll carry you. I mean, sometimes the other 9, and they're a little juicier. They have a little more emotion to them and all, and I like that. I like the emotional ones and the ones that kind of tug at my heart and tug at my gut a little bit. This one tugs at my backbone. Duty says you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to be moved. And so, I, by duty sometimes, you know, I can't say to you that 100% of the time I enjoy everything I do and I'm exhilarated all the time, but I'll tell you this, I'm supposed to do it, so I'm going to do it. And America needs a good old-fashioned dose of character and duty again. Duty. Duty. Do it. Why? It's right to do. I am moved by duty. Duty. It is my duty to be moved. It is my duty to go forward. Number 2, failure moves me. Or maybe I could say the fear of failure. I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail God. I don't want to fail myself. I don't want to fail those that are around me. I want success. Failure will drive you to prayer, or prayer will help you not to fear failure. But I will be honest, I don't like to fail. Failure is, to me, failure is not just one of the options of life that I might consider. Failure is my enemy. I don't know about you. I don't want to fail. Do you have something inside you that says, I don't want to fail. I want to succeed. You see, failure moves me. The fear of failure moves me. Now, that's not as good as duty. I'm just being honest with you. I don't want to fail. I hate failing. I want to succeed. And every one of us ought to learn that failure ought to be distasteful to us. Now listen, I think you are going to be patient with me and I'm going to be patient with you when we do what we call failing. But, you know, some of us are way too patient with ourselves about failure. Ah, so what's the big deal? God loves everybody. Indeed, He does, but God would like for you to get on the ball a little bit. We just accept our own failures sometimes so easily. We're just so smooth with our own failures. I fear failure. And I'm sorry. You say, but Owen, that's not real spiritual. I know. But I do fear it. I don't want to fail. So I'll go to my knees and I'll get the help that I need. I want to succeed. So what moves me? What motivates me? Number one, duty. Number two, failure moves me. Number three, broken hearts move me. They move me. When I see the tears of the brokenhearted, I am moved to keep going for God. Hurting people move me to keep on going for God. Hurting people make me want to keep doing what I do. Hurting people make me want to stay up late, get up early, give my best. When I look on a Sunday morning across this auditorium and I see things, that I see and know things you don't know. You see people with a smile upon their face. I've seen them the week before in my office weeping and crumbling under the pressure and the load. When I sit in this chair up here and I'm preparing to preach, I sit here and I say, Dear God, please, I cannot let them down today. I cannot. I am moved by the broken hearts of people. I think Martinsburg, West Virginia, I think this county, I think the Panhandle needs a church that is moved because of the broken hearts that are all over this place. You say, Brother Owens, I'm not a motivated person. Tell you what, spend a little time with brokenhearted people and something will motivate you. Something will move you. Oh, I am moved by broken hearts. I am moved out of this desire to succeed or not to fail. I am moved by duty. Number four, the thought of hell moves me. Hell is very real to me. I want no one to go to hell. All I have to do is begin to think about the way that hell is described in the Bible, and it makes me want to win someone to Jesus Christ. I'm moved by the thought of hell. I'm moved by the thought of someone that will burn for all eternity but not be consumed. I am moved by the thought that someone in hell will be falling and falling and falling but never arriving at the bottom of a bottomless pit. I am moved at the thought of hearing the weeping and the wailing. I'm moved at the thought of the gnashing of teeth. I'm moved by a darkness, yet a fire that takes place at the same time. I am moved at the thought that they will have a memory of the opportunities to be saved. I am moved at the thought that they will burn for all eternity, separated from God, and they'll fall and burn and scream. I am moved at the fact that the worm dieth not. I'm moved by that. That moves me. That motivates me from deep within. Now, let me stop and apply this. I think about one of, all of, or as many of these as I need to every day of my life. I wake up on Monday and I say, Lord, I've got to go. I've got to get up. I've got to get moving. I can't waste the day. You've left me here for a reason. And folks, this isn't just for the preacher. This is for everybody here. Mama, get up tomorrow morning and think about something that moves you. You'll be a better mama that way. You'll be a better wife that way. You'll be a better husband that way. You'll be a better American that way. You'll be a better Christian that way. Let something move you from deep within. Jesus looked at the multitudes and He was moved from deep within. He had compassion. And if you read the list and reread the scripture that I gave you as a text, you'll find out Jesus was listing the things that moved Him. The sick moved him. The lost moved him. The thought of heaven moved him. He looked at these people that were leaderless, and that moved him. He seen the people fainting, and it moved him. He seen that they were scattered, and it moved him. He was moved with compassion. Are you moved? Are you moved? We can't just let our emotions determine what we do all the time. It may be you need to plan to be moved. You're not going to be on this emotional high all the time spiritually. You know what you might need to do? You might need to sit down and figure out what moves you to be spiritual and have drive and to have motivation. That's what I've done. I figured out what moves Jeff Owens. And I've got it on a list, and I'm giving you that list. I am moved by duty. I am moved out of a desire to succeed or desire not to fail. I am moved by broken hearts. I am moved out of a desire to keep people from going to hell. Number five, heaven moves me. Oh, heaven moves me. I love a service where we preach about heaven. I love being reminded that there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way. He's prepared a dwelling place for us there. Elaine, Mama's there right now. That's where she's at. Boy, I love being able to say that. I could start going to person after person and row after row and pew after pew, and I could start saying to you, don't worry, your mama's there. Pete Reinberg, your daddy's there. Hey, your mama's there. Your son's there. Your daughter's there. Grandma's there. Grandpa's there. Hey, the saints of God that we associated with, they're there. I'm moved by heaven. Heaven moves me. Heaven energizes me. Heaven makes me want to go do something about it. Heaven makes me think, you know what? It's not going to be all that long. I mean, hey, if I live to 70, 80 years old, I'll get there soon. But Jesus may come back. I'm going to heaven someday. Heaven's a motivator for me. I want to help everybody I can to get to that place called heaven. I want people to see it's real. Folks, I don't know about your faith, but let me tell you something. I have a faith that heaven is a real place. One of these days, I can't wait until you wake up and you open your eyes in heaven and you're going to say, the preacher was right all along. Wow! The only thing is, he didn't tell us good enough. It's better, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man that which God hath prepared for us. Heaven's a real place. I cannot wait until some of you get there. Boy, it motivates me. Hey, Brenda, when Jordan gets to heaven, everything will be okay. It's going to be like that. I promise you, that's how it's going to be. I'll tell you, heaven motivates me. Heaven motivates me. Heaven makes me want to get out and do something. I've got to act. I've got to do something. When I think of heaven, heaven makes me motivated from deep within. You see, I am moved, how? By duty. I am moved, how? By this thing of failure or success, whichever you want to call it. I am moved. How am I moved? I'm moved when I see brokenhearted people. I'm moved when I think of hell. I'm moved when I think of heaven. Number six, my family moves me. I want my family to see that God is real. Oh, I want that so desperately. In a world of religion and make-believe, I want my family to look and say, it's real. It's real. I want them to have an old-time revival-type church that motivates me. I want them to be happy in the will of God that motivates me. I want them protected in the will of God that motivates me. God sometimes knows just what we need. Now we have a new grandbaby. Hey, I never understood how special a grandbaby can be until I got me one. You want to know something? I believe my granddaughter, Alexandra, can motivate me to work hard in these days when a lot of people begin to slow down. I don't think I can afford to.
I don't think I can afford to slow down. I don't think I can afford to put it in neutral and coast for a little while. Why? I have a family. And I'm motivated by the presence of my family and my love for my family and my passion for my family. I want to keep moving. I want to move up and onward. I want to do something for God. Why? I'm motivated by my family. Then number 7. Children motivate me. Children motivate me. There's something that is so sweet, yet helpless about a child. They need someone that will do what's best for them. They need someone that will do what's best for their church. They need someone. Look, the children of America need people to try to keep America clean and America safe and America being one nation under God. The children. Oh, how children motivate me. Children need leadership that is motivated. Children need leaders that are dedicated to the cause of Christ. You know something? I don't know if this is right to say, but I probably ought to say it. I don't want to lose one marriage in the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Well, I love the married couples in this church. I do. But I can tell you something. I'd like to save your marriage for your kids' sake. There's something inside me that says I don't want that boy to go to bed at night and not have a daddy living in his house. I don't want there to be negotiation about the kids. Kids are not something that we negotiate. Oh, the children. I can't bear the thought of a child that comes to my office to get a sucker out of a sucker jar going through the pain and the agony that the child will suffer because mom and dad don't work it out. I'm motivated. I am moved. How? My children. I'm motivated to help those who cannot help themselves. I'm motivated to fight for the children who cannot fight for themselves. I'm moved. What moves me? I'm moved by duty. I am moved by either failure or success. I don't know which it is, but I'm moved by broken hearts. I am moved at the thought of hell. I am moved at the thought of heaven. I am moved at due to a passion for my family to have the good things of God in their life. I'm moved by children. Number 8, I'm moved by not wanting to be a quitter. I'm moved by that. I just don't want to be a spiritual casualty. I am moved by a desire not to be a quitter. I don't want to be a quitter. If you call me a quitter, it would virtually kill me. I don't want to be called a quitter. I don't want to be looked at as a quitter. I don't know where that passion, that desire, or whatever you want to call it, comes from. But I don't want to be a quitter. Do you want to be a quitter? I don't want to be a quitter on God. I don't want to quit on God. I don't want to quit on my wife. I don't want to quit on my kids. I don't want to quit on my country. I don't want to quit on my church. I don't want to quit on myself. God knows I need a lot of doctoring up and I need a lot of fixing up, but I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep working on me. I don't want to quit on the fallen. I say again to the people of this church, do right and live right and stay away from sin. But the day you fall and you need me, I'll be there for you. I'll not let any hypocrite or Pharisee in this church keep me from offering a hand to those that have fallen. I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to quit on the fallen. I don't want to quit on the wounded. I just don't want to be a quitter. I'm motivated by that. Something inside me says, Jeff Owens, don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter when the going gets tough. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. Number 9, Calvary
moves me. There are just a few topics that I can preach on that energize me. I can preach on hell and a desire to see souls saved so they don't burn in hell. I can preach on heaven, and I'm moved to coax people to go to that land that is fairer than day. And oh my, if I need moved, just take me to Calvary. Let me see the sinless Son of God stripped in humility. Let me see His beard plucked, a crown of thorns upon His head. Let me see a beaten back and a bloody back and nails in His hands and nails in His feet. Let me see Him mocked and teased and called the King of the Jews. Let me hear Him say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I'm moved. Oh, that moves me. You see, if Jesus did all that for me, why shouldn't I do anything He wants for Him? See, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ moves me. There are actually times in my life when I'll preach a subject to keep me right with God. Motivated. Driven. On the firing line. Why? I know what motivates me. I know what moves me from deep within. I need to be moved every day of my life. My flesh would weigh me down. Oh my, I need to be moved. How do I do it? I have a list of what moves me. Duty moves me. Failure or success, whichever it is, moves me. Broken hearts move me. Hell moves me. Heaven moves me. My family moves me. Children move me. Not wanting to be a quitter moves me. Calvary moves me. And then finally, and I'm finished with my list, number 10, what moves me? The lack of spiritually moved people moves me. The lack of spiritually moved people moves me. You see, somebody has got to get excited about God. Somebody's got to have enough faith to see He who is invisible. Somebody's really got to believe that He's there. Somebody's got to show a lost and dying world that we do not worship a fairy tale. Somebody's got to have big faith. See, the lethargic attitude of people moves me. I feel that somehow God needs somebody to be highly motivated. I feel like He needs that. And I'm going to be honest. I really don't feel like I'm the man for the job. I sat in that seat this morning thinking for a moment about this sermon. I look out and I see more than one man in this auditorium that is far more capable than I. And I mean that. Men. Men with character. They can handle their finances. Good looking. Capable. Very able bodied. Brilliant minds. I look out and I say, my, what I would give to have what He has. To be what He is. I'm just a country boy. I'm just an average Joe. Others are smarter than I. Stronger. More capable. But God needs somebody that'll be moved. And if those that are better trained and more qualified, if they won't be moved, I'd say, Lord, I don't have much to offer. But what I have, use it. I want to be moved.
There are men in this building. You are so superior to me. And I know that. I'm so often humbled in your presence. But you got to do something with what God's given you. You have energy. You have brilliance. You have looks. But you got to be moved. You can have it all and just sit there and watch. Throw your hat in the ring, man. Be moved. See, I'm a bit motivated by the lack of motivation among God's people. I made a conscious decision. I remember when I made it. I was not going to allow a rock and roll star be more committed to his filthy music, his schedule, and his desire to become a millionaire than I will be moved and motivated to be the pastor of a local New Testament church. I'm not going to let the people that sell liquor and ruin homes be more dedicated to Anheuser-Busch than I'm going to be to the old-time religion. I'm not going to let people in the world be moved and motivated to their filth and their filth of life more than I'll be motivated for the God of the universe. And they may be more brilliant. They may have more money and more than all the preparation that I have. But I'll tell you what, I've got a God and I want to be moved. 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 There's some young men here. There's some young men. There's some teenage boys. Because you've got so much. And I'm watching how you're acting and living. Was it God that had the training you had? I never got to spend one day in a Christian school. What I would give to have your training and your ability, but not your attitude. Moved. Oh, moved. There are some young men here that could go out of this place someday and turn America back to God. They could build churches and ministries and do wonderful things. Oh, the training that you get in this auditorium. But the question is, will you let it move you? Will you be moved? Moved. Somebody needs to be moved. There's a lady in this church, I'll not tell you who. She'll probably not even recognize that it is her. I wonder how many times in the last 2 months she's come to me and said, Brother, I want to do more. I want to be more involved. I want God to use me with my family. I want to be used. And I'm thinking, wow. Wow. What a passion. I am so impressed. It's been a long time since I've seen a woman that wants to be moved. Moved. The Bible says, Jesus looked out at the multitude, and he was, every head bowed, every eye closed.